The conventional wisdom of recent months, at least on the progressive side of what we used to call the culture wars, has been that the proliferation of state-level legislation clearly targeting LGBT taxpayers for discrimination was a last gasp of a dying and outdated conservative agenda. There may yet be some short-term harms, the thinking goes, but it's just a matter of time before the whole thing sorts itself out. Now, however, there is a new threat poised to roll back some of the progress made in recent years in the form of language embedded in a must-pass military funding bill. Among the voices raising the alarm over this shameless manipulation of the National Defense Authorization Act has been the Center for American Progress, and I am happy to be joined now by Sarah McBride, Campaigns and Communications Manager for the LGBT Research and Communications Project at CAP. Sarah, welcome to State of Believe Radio.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be on.
Tell our listeners, what exactly is the problem with what's happening to the NDAA?
What has happened over the last several days, and it was actually added as an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act in the wee hours of the morning a week ago last Thursday, was an amendment that attempted to exempt several federal contractors from the president's recent executive order banning discrimination against LGBT employees of federal contractors, which expanded protections, enhanced protections for 28 million workers nationwide. And NDAA is a must-pass bill, and the fact that an extreme element of the House of Representatives have successfully added this in is, I think, a reflection of two things. One, it's a reflection of the fact that this Congress doesn't do much, and this do-nothing Congress, extreme elements in this do-nothing Congress know that the only way to advance their extreme agenda is to attach this measure onto a bill that is a must-pass bill. And the second is, in all of the ways that they've done this, it reinforces the fact that this is an unpopular action. This is an action that was added under the cloak of darkness, and it's an amendment to a massive bill that they're hoping will distract from the harm they're trying to do with this amendment. And I think so long as members of Congress on both sides of the aisle and both chambers stand up and say, we will not be importing the hate we saw in North Carolina or Mississippi into the halls of Congress, we're not going to let the National Defense Authorization Act be utilized to advance an extreme discriminatory agenda. So long as enough members stand up and get this out of the bill, I think we'll be good. But it's just a sad state to see a couple members of the House of Representatives not learn the clear lessons from North Carolina.
Sir, give us an idea of how widespread the impact of passing that bill would be.
The amendment is sort of sneakily worded, and it's very vague. And at first glance, to your average layperson, I'm not an attorney, but to first glance, the amendment seems somewhat benign. But in reality, through some really clever legal maneuvering and legislative maneuvering, the legislation would grant religiously affiliated institutions that receive federal funds that are held to a standard in all other non-discrimination protections, it would grant them effectively a license to discriminate against LGBT employees. So that might be a transgender custodian at a major hospital. It could be a gay worker who's working for a federal contractor that is seeking to get their legally married spouse onto their health insurance. It would allow for that type of discrimination. And because it's so vaguely worded, the impact could extend beyond the LGBT community. It could allow for discrimination against divorce workers or even pregnant unmarried workers.
Could there be repercussions even beyond the federal contractors?
Well, this amendment itself is limited to federal contractors, but I think it is part of a larger strategy by some in the House of Representatives to undermine all of the progress that we've seen. That could look like trying to ensure that the Supreme Court moves in a direction that would no longer be friendly to LGBT Americans. That includes the new hearing that's scheduled for what's called the First Amendment Defense Act, which would severely limit the ability of the federal government to enforce non-discrimination protections. Mm-hmm. And then obviously this amendment. So while this one's limited to federal contractors, part of an overall strategy, and encroachments on equality happen incrementally. Mm-hmm. It's bit by bit. And any step that we allow them to take to remove and rescind protections that LGBT people have creates a very dangerous precedent for LGBT people and non-LGBT people across the country.
Sarah, not even the members of Congress, or especially not even the members of Congress, dealing with a bill that is as massive as this one, are likely to be reading all of that proposed legislation. So that means someone has to find this. Someone has to identify the danger of this addition to it that we all are now talking about. Who finds that kind of attachment? And then am I correct that you go first probably to staff members of the members of Congress who are going to be the ones that have to get the message to the members of Congress themselves?
Fortunately, we have some incredible advocates for LGBT equality in Congress, mm-hmm. both out members of Congress and allied members of Congress, as well as some amazing staff that really have the LGBT community's back and are keeping an eye out for us. The Armed Services Committee voted in favor of this amendment. So there was a period of time around 2 a.m. where the Armed Services Committee did discuss and debate this. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in discussing and debating it, those who are on the Armed Services Committee who do have the back of LGBT Americans, they did realize what was happening. And actually, all of the Democrats, as well as two Republicans on the committee, voted against this amendment when it was introduced because they could see pretty clearly that this was a thinly veiled attempt to use the important American principle of religious freedom and religious liberty to disingenuously push an anti-LGBT agenda, which is something that we're seeing far too often.
Mm-hmm. Is there some implication of hope that this can be removed from the legislation?
I think we are cautiously optimistic that at the end of the day, the final National Defense Authorization Act that is passed and signed into law will not include this language. But of course, as with everything in Washington, as with everything in life, that takes action and that takes individuals engaging on this issue. That takes voters contacting their members of Congress saying, I heard about this amendment and this won't stand. So we need to make sure that we hold their feet to the fire. But I'm confident that if we continue to do so, the amendment will not be included in the final version that reaches the president's desk.
Sarah, I want to go all the way back to the way I began to introduce this segment. I started out by saying that conventional wisdom suggests the culture wars are pretty much over. Do you think that's a premature attitude to have? How entrenched are the forces of discrimination, and where are they likely to pop up next?
I think what's clear is that the fundamental landscape of America's culture wars, as we've come to know them, have changed. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, our side, the side of equality, the side of social progress, was probably on the defensive. Mm-hmm. I think we're now on the offensive. I think we are winning this effort for equality. I think we are winning hearts and minds, opening hearts and minds, and I think the American public realizes the mistakes that our country has made in the past and doesn't want to repeat them. But I do think that those who find themselves on the other side are deeply entrenched in their position. In North Carolina, we have seen the federal government threaten billions of dollars in federal funding. We've seen businesses pull back or threaten to pull back over $500 million in economic activity in the state. That's been enough to, I think, soften support for bills like HB2 in North Carolina among some folks, but there are still some who are fighting desperately to keep America from moving forward, that are fighting desperately to enshrine discrimination into our laws. And I think that'll continue. And the only way for us to continue to win this effort, for us to continue to push our country forward, is for people to not go home prematurely, to continue the fight, and to make clear that that effort is not over, that marriage equality is not the end, that LGBT people and frankly, people of all marginalized backgrounds still face both legal and non-legal discrimination throughout daily life.
Sarah McBride is the Campaigns and Communications Manager for the LGBT Research and Communications Project at the Center for American Progress. CAP is working hard to stop underhanded legislative efforts to undo anti-discrimination regulations in the guise of language embedded in the important National Defense Authorization Act. Sarah, I want to tell you how much I appreciate what CAP does and specifically what you are doing, and I thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
The pleasure is all mine. Thanks for everything you're doing.